What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 6 of Empowering the Future of Agriculture. I'm Carson Osteen, and I'm hosting this podcast. And today, we have a Q&A with Sarah Ault, the 2024-2025 West Tennessee State Vice President. So, Sarah, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, for sure. My name is Sarah Ault. Like Carson said, I'm currently serving as a Tennessee FFA state officer. I'm from West Tennessee, a little small town called Mumford. I've lived there my entire life, and really growing up in the same house, on the same street, in the same neighborhood, I never really had any idea what agriculture was, other than the stereotypical idealization of it that it was just farming until I got to high school. So being able to be in this, like, in this role of serving a state association with so many members, it's really just such an empowering thing. I love the name of this podcast because empowering individuals through agriculture and through opportunities within FFA or even other youth-led agricultural organizations like 4-H, it's such an amazing opportunity to just be involved and use those opportunities that you've surrounded yourself with to build yourself up and build others around you up. I'm really grateful to be where I'm at today, being able to serve other people. That's been such a big part of who I am, is being able to serve those around me. In our motto, it says living to serve, and I really take that to heart. So I'm really excited to be here today and share a little bit more about myself and my journey.
Perfect. So I know you have served as the regional president for West Tennessee last year, and then you went through the state officer selection process and got selected. So could you walk us through maybe the regional, like, walk us through the regional officer selection process for maybe some people that will maybe want to run in the future, or, and then maybe walk through the state officer and kind of just tell us a little bit about both?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start off with the regional officer selection process. This was a little bit more laid back, if you will. Nevertheless, still a very difficult process, and one that individuals going through the process and selecting those candidates out of that pool, it's a very hard job to do because we have so many phenomenal candidates, and one of those could potentially be you. But with regional office, I'm from West Tennessee, and of course the regional officer selection process looks different across all three regions, West, Middle, and East. But the process that I went through was mainly comprised of a knowledge test as well as an interview. The test portion I found was the most helpful to me throughout my course in being an FFA member, whether that's from competing or even pursuing higher leadership than regional office with state office. Studying for that knowledge portion of the regional officer selection process was really an eye-opener for me. It helped me learn, step out of my comfort zone. I did extemporaneous public speaking for 3 years, and again, I'm really grateful to have this opportunity, but in October, I'll be in Indianapolis, and I'll be competing on the national level in that contest. And all of that studying between regional office and state office and just simply preparing for the contest, all of that has been so helpful in my journey, not only as an FFA member, but as an individual, to sort of realize agricultural issues in the world around me and to learn about the numbers of our organization, how many members we have. It's so amazing that even if we think on the national level, membership is extended down to fifth grade members. We're pushing that limit of almost 1 million national FFA members across 52 state associations. And I think all of those cool facts and things really just allowed me to open my eyes and sort of be in this moment in my life and sort of realize everything around me and how special it is that I get to be a part of it. Moving on to the second part of the regional officer selection process that I went through was the interview process. This piece of the selection process really did make me dive deeper into who I am. I knew I wanted to be a state officer, jumping way far ahead. my very first state convention. I could point you to the exact same seat I was in Mills Auditorium and watching Caitlin Wattenberger's retiring address. And that's when I noticed that I wanted to be a state officer. And looking back on that, I didn't know why. I didn't know why I wanted to serve other people around me, and I didn't know who I really was and why I was a good fit to be in those positions. So I knew I probably needed to start off with regional office and give it a shot. If it didn't work out, I wasn't going to lose grasp of my aspirations of becoming a state officer. But fortunately, I did make the regional officer team my senior year of high school, and I was able to serve all of West Tennessee. And it was such an amazing opportunity being able to help with contests, being able to coordinate Green Hand Conference, go to rope, and just really be surrounded by the epitome of leadership within our state association. So the interview process for regional office, for me, it looks different for everybody, and that is perfectly okay. Diversity is such an amazing part of FFA and what it's comprised of, and no one story is ever going to be the same. It's so important to understand that we're individuals and we have differences, and that's what's so special about each of us is that we all have our own unique stories, backgrounds, upbringings, life experiences. And I encourage each of you, if you plan on running for regional office or even state office, take a deeper dive into who you are, and figure out your purpose and your why. Always remember that serving in a higher leadership role, it entails a lot of service, and that should be something really big in your heart is to serve all the other individuals around you. Now that I've rambled about regional office for quite a while, a lot of the state officer process, I have the same thoughts and ideals on. But the state officer selection process is also a very selective process. We had the year that I ran this past state convention, there was a lot of phenomenal candidates from across the state, and it was truly, I don't even know how the nominating committee did it, picking a team out of that group of phenomenal candidates, because each of us had such unique and empowering stories of agriculture in our life. And I could see just in the waiting room, waiting on interviews, the fire and the love for this organization and the agriculture industry just burning inside these individuals. And I think that that is so special to me to remember that about all the individuals that had the courage to run for a Tennessee FFA state office. The process in itself is pretty difficult, but it is indeed possible seeing that I am still here and so many of the other candidates are still here. But you do run off of quite a little sleep. So I would highly encourage caffeine to be somewhere in your diet or a very early bedtime, which you probably won't get most nights. But the selection process in itself, it's comprised of five main parts. First, you have your knowledge test, which is very similar to the regional office knowledge test. All the FFA knowledge, anything in the manual is free game, and agriculture knowledge and parliamentary procedure knowledge is also listed in that test for state office. And then the second part was the letter writing practicum. This was basically, you've got to be ready for anything. It could be a letter to middle school FFA members or to a corporate sponsor. It could be really anything, but good penmanship and genuine intentions when writing letters is something that's really valued within our association. I've written tons of thank you letters to people who have made an impact on me, those who have allowed me to be a part in their journey. It's very important. So I really took pride in that part of the selection process because it is so important. Then the next part of the selection process, the third part, that would be a personal interview. So it's all about you. This is your chance to show that nominating committee who you are, your values, beliefs. your stance on some of the things going on in FFA and agriculture, how you would go about those things. And then the fourth part is the agricultural issues interview. This is all about your ag knowledge. I like to describe this one as the truth interview because with that knowledge, you've got to really be on top of your game with that ag knowledge. What's going on in today's agricultural industry? What those issues are? What's going on in Washington, D.C., in the House, and in the Senate? All of those things are so important to be aware of in today's world, not just for the selection process, but in general. It's so important to be informed. And that is something that I've learned to have a certain respected value for as I've been a state officer, is to just be informed about what's going on around me. And then finally is the group interview. This displays how you work with others, making sure that you're uplifting those around you, just those basic everyday things, just building those up around you, truly empowering them, planning, and then also presenting. So the process in itself, it spans across 2 days. You'll show up to convention earlier than everybody else, and you'll get started on the process bright and early. But you do end up building a pretty great family through the running process. You'll have a job, a convention job. I worked at the photo booth, directing people where to go, what to do, fixing ties and scarves, making sure jacket zippers were tucked in. Just all the good stuff. There's backstage jobs where you're helping Miss Kim direct people backstage, making sure they're organized and in line and ready to go on stage for awards and things of that nature. There are so many things that you have the opportunity to get an inside glimpse on if you run for a Tennessee FFA state office. But as I mentioned, I knew I wanted to be a state officer my freshman year. And I knew I wanted to serve people in a higher capacity than just myself. But I never really understood why. I knew I wanted it, but I didn't know why. And that was such a difficult question for me because I really had to sit and think to myself, why do I want to be in this position? Why not anybody else? And I truly had to think about it, and I really think for me at least, it comes back to my heart of service. My goal this year as a state officer is to make an impact in the lives of others and within the agriculture industry. Those are the two things that our national organization was built on, was youth-led association and agriculture. Those are the two things that I get from the history of national FFA, and those are things that really do stay true to my heart. So running for a regional and state office is definitely something that I would encourage each of you to do. But before you make that final decision, reflect on your why and why you want to serve in a higher capacity.
And also kind of add on to that, I did run for region this past spring. And walking through the whole process in general, like you see so many different great people. I can't remember exactly how many candidates West Tennessee had this year, but all of them were some of the best people that I had ever met. And of course, most of them are still really good friends to this day. And just like if anybody does have that feeling, that need to do more, to serve more, look into it, serve on that. You can even make a you can make a huge impact alone serving on your chapter team or maybe just being a member in general. But like if you would love to step or to take that step forward and to grow more as a leader, person, and most importantly an agriculturalist, then I'd highly suggest to just take that chance. You might not get a position and you might and it builds you a lot and yeah, so.
Yeah, for sure. And just to add on one more thing, it really, like being on this podcast with you, Carson, really made me think of this, and you truly are the epitome of what I'm about to say. A title doesn't make you a leader. Your actions make you a leader. And I think that's so important to realize. I can't speak from experience, but I do have some very close friends that have ran for an office and didn't get it the first time, or maybe didn't even get it at all. And I think it's so important to realize that sometimes things are not in the cards for you for a reason. And it's not really about being the regional president or the regional sentinel or the state president. It's really about building those around you. It's about your actions to serve. Sure, a title can get you places and open more opportunities for you, but that doesn't take away from the fact that we are in control of our own decisions and how we respond to these events that occur in our lives. We have the power and determination to make change and make a difference and to serve other people every single day in our lives. Whether or not we decide to run for a chapter office, a regional office, a state office, a national office, even, that doesn't define who we are. We are so much more than FFA. We are so much more than the sport that we play. We're so much more than debate club or another CTSO that we're a part of. We have the opportunity to step outside of our comfort zones and lead those around us every single day. And I think that that's something that Carson can for sure speak on. I mean, what you're doing, Carson, is really amazing with the podcast and the ag advocacy platform on Instagram. I love every part of it. And you've truly shown me what it means to serve and to be kind in every aspect of your life.
Thank you. And then, well, another thing, like with the whole, like, you might not get a position, you might do. Even if you don't, just take that and build up on it. That's the one thing that I really am trying for this year. I know almost what I messed up on for this past year, so I'm going to, build on it and see where that takes me. And that's just like one of the biggest things. Like, FFA is one of those organizations where you have chances. You can mess up many times and still succeed in some way. And that's something I could speak to with many competitions, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, it gives you opportunities that many other things might not. And that's really one of the biggest things that I believe FFA is. It's an organization full of opportunities. And that kind of leads right into the next question. So you recently completed your first your year of camp. So would you like to share maybe some stuff about camp this year?
Yeah, for sure. So I remember my very first time going to camp. I was going into my sophomore year of high school. I didn't go before my freshman year. So I had sort of gotten a grasp on FFA and what it was. I competed in Creed and CCM. I did an agriscience fair. I was so excited for camp. And I went and I had the time of my life. I found so many friends and I've met so many people. And I truly found the community that everyone talked about when they talk about FFA and what it is. Everyone says, like, FFA is your family, or we put the whatever in family. And I think that's so true. And the moment that I found that for myself was at camp. So, all throughout high school, my chapter always went during past state officer week, which is week 7. So, I had never been to a quote unquote normal week of camp. Nevertheless, was a phenomenal experience and put the love of camp in my heart for the rest of my life. But being able to have that experience during past state officer week, it was much different from the experiences that I had serving as a state officer at camp, whether that's going around and playing gaga ball or volleyball with you guys, or chairing a session, or helping out with camp council. Everything has truly been so different, but in the most positive and impactful way for me. Being able to, like, I went to forestry camp first, which is a great experience in itself. And then I worked week 3, week 4, and week 6 of FFA camp at Camp Clements. And those 3 weeks truly opened my eyes. And the most important lesson that it taught me was as much hype that people put around state officers and so much credibility that we get. I think, like, everyone's, even I have said before, oh, this state officer has made such a big impact on me. They changed the way I looked at things. They just really, like, made that impact on my life. I've realized that as a state officer, you guys have truly made the biggest impact on me. I learned that although I'm a state officer and it's my job to be a leader in our association, you guys lead me every single day that I'm around you guys. You guys show me what good friendship is. You guys show me what good leadership is. You guys show me different ideas, different perspectives that I wouldn't have even thought of. And I think that that experience and that realization that I had at camp is one that's going to stick with me throughout the rest of my year as a state officer.
Yeah, camp is always the one thing that one of the many things that I look forward to every single year. So my first year was the summer after or after freshman year, and the team that week it was Ella, Hannah, Lily, and Maddie, and that week was like they were some of the most influential people that I would say that kind of I'd honestly say that my whole entire journey with FFA really kick started at camp. I did two competitions or so, I think, freshman year, and I was active, but I wasn't active, if you know what I'm trying to say.
So you were active, but you weren't invested.
Yeah, you could put it that way.
You could put it that way.
So the two competitions I did, I kind of didn't compete, but I went to all the practices, is how I'm gonna put it. And I really wasn't invested my freshman year. I did get a position on my chapter officer team, and I was scared going into camp. I've told this story in my extemp speech that I did at camp this year. I was scared. I didn't know what I was about to get into. I didn't know any of that stuff. But the people
People
at
at
camp
camp
that
that
year,
year,
the
the
state
state
officers
officers
that
that
year
year
welcomed
welcomed
everybody
everybody
with
with
open
open
arms,
arms,
and
and
it
it
really,
really,
I'd
I'd
say,
say,
kind
kind
of
of
got
got
me
me
out
out
of
of
my
my
shell
shell
by
by
the
the
end
end
of
of
the
the
week,
week,
and
and
I
I
started
started
to
to
realize,
realize,
oh,
oh,
I
I
actually
actually
have
have
stuff
stuff
I
I
want
want
to
to
be
be
able
able
to
to
do
do
in
in
this
this
organization.
organization.
This
This
is
is
actually
actually
the
the
organization
organization
for
for
me.
me.
And
And
that
that
led
led
to
to
me
me
getting
getting
way
way
more
more
involved.
involved.
Taking
Taking
that
that
two
two
competitions
competitions
going
going
about
about
six
six
this
this
year.
year.
Like,
Like,
there's
there's
just
just
so
so
many
many
things
things
that
that
I'd
I'd
say
say
camp
camp
can
can
help
help
you
you
with.
with.
Like
Like,
this
this
year,
year,
I
I
did
did
many
many
different
different
things
things
that
that
I
I
knew
knew
I, well,
well,
I
I
didn't
didn't
expect
expect
myself
myself
to
to
do.
do.
The
The
vice
vice
president
president
class
class
was
was
meeting
meeting
some
some
of
of
the
the
best
best
people
people
that
that
I'd
I'd
probably
probably
have
have
met
met
in
in
a
a
long
long
time.
time.
Same
Same
with
with
the
the
extent,
extent,
like
like
all
all
the
the
people
people
that
that
you
you
meet
meet
at
at
camp
camp
are
are
like
like
some
some
of
of
the
the
best
best
friends
friends
that
that
you'll
you'll
ever
ever
have.
have.
And
And
if
if
anybody
anybody
ever
ever
gets
gets
that
that
opportunity,
opportunity,
if
if
you're
you're
listening
listening
to
to
this,
this,
like
like
go
go
to
to
camp.
camp.
It's
It's
you're
you're
not
not
gonna
gonna
regret
regret
it.
it.
Just
Just
take
take
the
the
chance
chance
and
and
go
go
to
to
camp.
camp.
It's
It's
gonna
gonna
be
be
like
like
one
one
of
of
the
the
best
best
weeks
weeks
of
of
the
the
summer,
summer,
to
to
be
be
honest.
honest.
And
And
so,
so,
I
I
mean,
mean,
this
this
kind
kind
of
of
leads
leads
into
into
the
the
next
next
one
one
too.
too.
So
So
it's
it's
time
time
pretty
pretty
much
much
for
for
all
all
the
the
freshmen
freshmen
to
to
kind
kind
of
of
start
start
looking
looking
into
into
what
what
high
high
school
school
has
has
to
to
offer,
offer,
all
all
the
the
ad
ad
classes
classes
and
and
all
all
that
that
kind
kind
of
of
stuff.
stuff.
So
So
is
is
there
there
any
any
advice
advice
that
that
you
you
would
would
like
like
to
to
give
give
for
for
like
like
upcoming
upcoming
freshman
freshman
members
members
or
or
members
members
that
that
might
might
be
be
in
in
high
high
school
school
right
right
now
now
that
that
are
are
just
just
now
now
getting
getting
into
into
FFA?
FFA?
Oh, I think the best advice I could offer is for sure my personal experience. My freshman year, I'd said at the beginning of this podcast that I didn't grow up with agriculture in my life. I really didn't. And when I walked in, the only reason why I took an ag class my freshman year is because my sister said that I could get 2 credits. I could get a science credit and I could get an elective credit, which for 3 years of elective credits are required for graduation at my high school. So I decided, why not take agriscience? I can kill two birds with one stone, get it out of the way, have an easy senior year. I'm very much a forward-thinking person. I try to always be one step ahead of myself. And little did I know as a freshman, that small, mindless decision in that moment, I wouldn't be here today if I did not mark on my freshman schedule that I wanted to take agriscience. I really wouldn't. And I think when we put that stuff in perspective, decisions we make, and even such little decisions, seemingly little decisions that we make in our lives, that can really affect us down the road. And I think just taking that one small step outside of your comfort zone. I did not know that I was stepping outside of my comfort zone until I walked in those doors my freshman year. I was greeted with a loud, bubbly, blonde teacher at the front of the classroom, welcoming all of us with open arms on my first day of freshman year. Miss Swerka has really been one of those impactful people in my life. She's always so welcoming and so bright all the time. And just having her as my very first ag teacher throughout high school, that really allowed me to know that it's okay to take a step outside of your comfort zone, to try something new. I remember Miss Swerka, it was CCM. I had played soccer all 4 years of high school. I love it. I was down at practice, and these two girls that went to my school, they were working in the office, they brought a letter down to the field, and I was like, this is strange. Immediately, like, my coach called me over, and I thought I was in trouble. I was like, oh, gosh, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm trying my hardest, man. It's hot out here. It's the middle of September. It's Tennessee heat. Uh-uh. I'm too hot for this. But, he called me over and said, you got something from the office. So I open it up and I'm like, oh gosh, like I haven't done anything wrong. Like what happened? So I open it up and it's an invite to our conduct of chapter meetings, practice. And I had no clue what conduct of chapter meetings was, but it's briefly explained it as debate and things like that. Just the basic ideas of it. And I was like, I don't know if this is, like, what I want to do. Like, I want to play soccer. I'm going to play soccer in college. Like, this is my jam. Like, I don't have time. After practice, I walked my happy butt back to the ag building and sat in the classroom in conduct of chapter meetings practice, and I gave it my 2 cents. I was reluctant at first, but again, that small decision to go back and to invest time into that moment in my life, it got me places that I can't even describe. It, like, conduct of chapter meetings was the opening doors of my FFA journey, and that really just allowed me to grasp the idea of, yeah, you're going to do things that are really scary at first, and that's okay. But those scary things allow you to grow, and they allow you to become well-rounded, not only in FFA, but as a person. Those real-world experiences are so valuable to meet new people, to learn new things. I have this thought that learning is a never-ending process. You don't stop learning when you get out of high school. You don't stop learning when you get out of college. You don't stop learning when you get out of trade school. You learn every single day of your life, and that's something that FFA has given me every single day of my life. So my stories as a freshman or as to an individual to that's just now getting involved in FFA or is just starting their freshman year, I think those stories really sum up to the idea of, yeah, you're going to do some scary things, and maybe you're not really going to want to at first, but if you just take a leap of faith, you might just fall into the best thing that has ever happened to you in your life. And even if you try it and it is not your thing and you just feel like that is so not up my alley, there are so many other opportunities within FFA that you can try. I mean, it's truly just an amazing world of opportunity and uplifting from those around you, and the push to succeed and to be better and try new things is amazing. So take that step outside of your comfort zone. And I know this is cheesy and might not make sense to a lot of people, but I said it all the time and I didn't know that it didn't make sense, but I think it's pretty funny. Sometimes you have to walk in the dark to find the lights. I think I say that because as a child, I was scared of the dark. And I would be in my bed and I'm like, okay, it's time to go to bed. And I would have to go run to my light switch. I would walk to my light switch. There's still lights in the room. And I would count down. I would go okay, 3, 2, 1. And I would turn my lights off and run back to my bed. And then I would turn my lamp on. Why I didn't just turn my lamp on before I turned my lights off, I don't know. But funny story, funny saying. But sometimes you've just got to walk blindly sometimes. And you might just end up on something that you fall in love with and just allows you to grow so much as a person.
Yeah, walking in blind to FFA was the biggest thing that I could have ever done. My dad was in it, I think, back in the day. And that was the only person in my family that did it. And he never really told me about it. I'd heard about it through, I don't even know where I'd heard about FFA, but I heard about it and I was like, wow, that seems cool. And I showed up. My ag class wasn't until the spring that year. So I had a whole fall semester that I wasn't, around FFA per se, but I heard that there was a competition going on and it was horse judging. Did I know a single thing about horses? No. Did I learn a few things about horses? Kinda. But I took that leap. It was a big leap, but I took that leap of faith into a competition that I knew nothing about. I knew there was, I couldn't tell you nothing about a horse if you asked me back then. And that's just one thing that FFA gives you the chance to do. Just, you take so many different leaps of faith. Around, I'd say probably November or so, right after horse judging happened, a few months after horse judging happened, there was another competition that came about. One of our chapter officers reached out to me and she was like, hey, you want to do creed speaking? I'm like, sure, what is it? And then I eventually started to do that competition. I did not invest myself as much into it. I may have memorized it a week before I was supposed to have it done, but that's another story too. But I didn't see myself going into this organization speaking about stuff or doing near as much as I do, and I look back on it and I never would have done any of this if I didn't take that one leap of faith back in August of 2022 and judged horses. So that's something that I really like to tell everyone. Just take that step. You never know what you might get out of it, but I mean, that step's just something that is really important for so many different people.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So I know you've done many competitions over the years, and many going to state and above. Do you want to talk about any, maybe some of your state competitions you've done or?
Yeah, for sure. So you were talking about creed speaking, and I also did creed speaking my freshman year. Another story time. I was a little bit introverted my freshman year. I didn't really know who I was. I was still figuring out the ropes of high school, trying to figure out friends and school and all this stuff. And it was so overwhelming for me. And CCM was really my outlet for that. It allowed me to be candidly who I am, to share my voice and my opinions. It allowed me to, it made me feel heard, even though it was just a competition. So we did CCM, we advanced to the state contest. Life was so great. It was so great. Then I walk in to my ag class. I'm just minding my own. I'm happy to be there. I'm in the moment. I'm like, all right, yes, agroscience. This is great. Miss Ann, I did not have Miss Ann as a teacher. She was one of my CCM coaches, and that was really the draw of our relationship was, yep, CCM coach, great. She stops me right before I go into Miss Worker's room, and she's like, hey, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I do? She goes, so there's another competition coming up, and it's called Creed Speaking. We want you to do it. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is Creed Speaking? Like, it was very much an unfamiliar whatever. She sort of explained it to me, but my immediate reaction to her words when she said individual competition, speaking competition, immediately, nope, Miss Ann, this is not me. I cannot get up there by myself and speak to a bunch of people. Like, I can't do it by myself. Like, nope, I need people around me. I'm a people person. I can't do it alone. Not happening. And she's like, just try. And if you fail miserably, you'll live. And I'm like, okay, why not? So again, I took another blind leap of faith. And so further into this story, it's the success of the story. But in the beginning, like what I'm about to share, it was very much the experience part of it. The one thing that I learned from CCM, it isn't always about whether or not you win or whether or not you get the placing that you wanted. It's about the experience and the growth that you had preparing for the contest, researching for the contest, learning about the contest. It's all about the experience for me. And I think that as much pressure that we have from maybe our parents or our advisors or our teammates even to win. Yeah, winning is awesome. And that feeling of being on stage at state convention or sitting at the regional contest waiting for the announcement of first place and hearing your chapter name called out for first place, that's such an amazing feeling. But on that car ride home, you think about everything that you've gotten out of that, how much you've learned and how much you've grown. And that thought and that idea is really applicable in my life with Creed Speaking. Again, did not grow up, had no idea what ag was, sort of got a little bit more knowledge throughout the year doing it, ag science and CCM, just learning things, but really didn't know what it was. And the first day of my Creed practice, it was all about dissecting the Creed. All six sentences. Fun fact, there are only six sentences in the entire Creed, five paragraphs and, I don't even know, 200 some odd words. I broke down every single word, every single phrase, and researched, and I wrote down what it meant to me. Because that was the moment that I realized that agriculture had so much more to offer than I even realized. I realized that inventors went through so many trials and tribulations to give us the better things we now enjoy. I really figured out what I believe meant. I mean, I figured since it's the start of all five paragraphs, I should probably pay attention to it. So I really paid attention to what I believe means to me. And just little different parts of the creed, I broke it all down. I researched to learn stories about agriculture. I'm a big story person, if you couldn't tell. So I love to just see and to learn and to read about all of the things that's happened in the history of agriculture, what people went through to get us to where we are now today, whether that's FFA or in the agriculture industry. I think it's so important. And Creed Speaking allowed me to delve further into that and allowed me to really open my eyes. So I dissected the creed. We hadn't even started speaking yet. I was simply dissecting it. I was figuring out what it meant to me. And so I figured out what everything meant to me. We're getting up there. I've memorized the creed. I know what it means to me. But now it's time for me to say it out loud. So it's my very first time saying the creed. I believe in the future of agriculture with a faith born not of, oh my gosh, I can't remember it. And then I say it again and again and again, and I have to look at my paper so many times. And by the end of practice that day, I was a puddle of tears. I was crying hysterically. Like, I felt like all of my hard work had boiled down to nothing because I can't even say it. Like, what is happening? I was like, I thought I had this down pat. I was starting to warm up to the idea, and now I can't even do it. I felt like I had totally failed myself when really I just needed to stick around and give it a few more swings. So I stayed and I worked, and most practices consisted of me crying at one point or another. But I pushed through, and lo and behold, it was time for the regional contest. I was feeling more confident in my question answers. I had my creed. I had my hand motions. I knew where I was going to walk, on what word. We had it all figured out. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I like to see things, like I need a list of what to do and when to do it. And that's exactly what we did with creed for me. We're at the regional contest. I go in there. I feel good about what I put out there. I feel like I gave it my best. Okay, this so reminds me of something that I was reading last night. So this is such a sidebar. I get distracted so easily, if you couldn't tell. But this is weighing on me pretty heavy right now. I feel like it's so important. Let me find it. Give me like 2 seconds. Okay. I know I highlighted it. Okay, yep. It's in this book that I'm reading. It's called Shop Class as Soul Craft, An Inquiry into the Value of Work. And we realize that FFA is a lot of work sometimes, especially with competitions. And it says, on page 13, it says, you give it your best, learn from your mistakes, and the next time get a little closer to the image you started with in your head. And that is exactly what creed speaking did for me. I had to try and try and try again so many times. But the more that I tried, the closer that I got to that image of, like, nailing it. And I finally saw all of that come to fruition at the regional contest. I gave it my best. And every single time I gave it my best at practice, I saw it just get a little bit closer to that perfect, well-rounded image of a creed speaker in my mind. And what I put out on that regional contest, that was my best at the time, and I felt good about it. By the end of the night, I realized that I had advanced to the next round of the regional contest the next day. So I was clearly excited about that in itself, that I had advanced out of my flight. I was on top of the world. I get to the regional contest the next day, I give it my best again, and I win the regional contest, and me and the state runner-up, or and the regional runner-up, we're advancing to state. This was such a moment for me that I built that new connection and friendship with somebody that shared something in common with me in FFA. So we give it a break. My mind is not on creed speaking. It's on, like, standardized tests or something. And we get to the state contest. This was the year that it was in June because of COVID. So that was my very first state convention experience. We get there. I'm like a little overwhelmed. I've got CCM. I've got creed speaking. I've got my agri-science fair. Like, there's so many things in my head right now. Little did I know that 3 years later, I would be doing 6 things at state instead of just 3. But in that moment, that was so overwhelming for me. And I was like, how am I going to do my best on every little thing that I've put myself out here for? I've worked so hard for all of them, but I feel like I don't have the energy. I don't have the mental capacity to give it my best for all of them. And one thing that I learned, and this piece of advice was shared from an advisor of mine, they said that just to take it one day at a time. Live life day by day. When you are feeling overwhelmed, don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. And I really took that to heart, and I still do. And I feel like that also floods into living intentionally. being intentional every single day in every little thing that you do. So at State Convention my freshman year, I took it day by day. I competed in CCM first. I did my agri-science fair interview. And finally, it was the day to do creed speaking. I was so excited. I was so nervous. I had butterflies in my stomach, my head. I was going haywire. I was sitting in the room with everybody else doing public speaking. They tell the exempt speakers to go to another room. They tell the prepared speakers to go to this other room. So now all that's left, they tell the employment skills people to go to another room. So now all that's left are the creed speaking kids. And it's me and five other people that I know are my competition. I am so nervous. I've got sweaty hands. I'm shaky. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And this moment of what do I do leads me into one of my all-time favorite FFA memories. Like, this reminds me of Inside Out. It's one of my core memories on FFA Island in my mind. And it actually is one of my favorite pictures. My advisor snapped a picture of this moment. I look over to my advisor and I go, can I ask them to go out in the hall and, like, just pray over all of us for a second? And she goes, yeah. So I go up to each person, I'm like, hey, do you want to go out in the hall to, like, say a quick prayer before we get started today? And everyone's like, yeah. So we go out in the hall, we join hands, and we all pray over each other. And I think that that moment of, yes, you know they're your competition. Yeah, you want to win so bad because of the hard work that you've put in. But having that moment of togetherness and family makes you realize that winning is not the most important thing. It's about the growth that you've had together, those learning experiences, those opportunities that you've each been given, and how grateful you are to just be there surrounded by people alike to you. And I think that that was such a special moment for me. Fast forward to the award ceremony of FFA convention my freshman year. I'm getting on stage with the other individual that advanced to win state, and I was like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, I did not even expect to be here. Putting it in retrospect to, oh my gosh, Miss Ann, I can't get up there alone. I can't speak without a team. Like, I can't do it. To now I'm on this state stage for the very first time. It was such a moment for me. We're waiting. The sponsor is giving their little spiel about creed speaking and everything, and I don't even know what they're saying. Words are not in my mind at this point. I'm like, sweaty hands, my advisors are around me, everyone in the crowd is watching, and it's time for them to announce. And they finally say, they finally call out Mumford as the state-winning creed speaker. And there is a horrendous video somewhere online of me being overly dramatic. Truth be told, I was like, oh my gosh, you would have think I would have just won Miss Universe or something. It was hilarious looking back on it. But in that moment, those feelings of, I'm just proud of myself. I take pride in what I did because I started from nothing and now I'm here because of the work that I've put in, how I worked so diligently over that period of time to get to where I am now. That moment in my life really just set me up to push myself to exceed my limits. Because at first, I didn't think that I would even advance out of my flight on the first round of the regional contest. And now I'm on the state stage with a state-winning plaque in my hand. That was such a moment. And then, of course, we're rushed off the stage to keep things going. And I'm, like, back in the crowd. I have my state plaque. And I'm just, like, overwhelmed with excitement and joy. I snap a picture and I send it to my mom, like, look. And she tells me, I'm so proud of you. And to hear that from my mom and from my dad that didn't grow up knowing what FFA was and knowing what agriculture was, that was such a moment for me to realize that my hard work was now visible to other people that I had worked for something and that I really did earn this. I go on and I compete on the national level. Funny story, I had COVID during the first round of the national level creed speaking contest. I was in my house. I was sick. Girls, hear me out on this one. You never know how much you hate pantyhose until you're sick and try to put them on and then they rip. It's not fun. So I'm deathly ill with COVID, and I'm on this Zoom competing in the prelim round. I'm like, oh gosh, the world is against me. There's no way that this is happening. Well, there actually was a way that that was happening, seeing that I advanced to Sweet 16. So my advisors, they're standing outside of my window proctoring me. Not my advisors, but our CTE director, Miss Brenda. She stood outside of my window, proctored me, and our chapter vice president at the time and Miss Anna, Miss Worker were all waiting in the car outside of my house. And they have, like, this big sign. They have confetti poppers. They've got candy, like, all of it. And they put my yearbook on my front door. I'm laying in my bed. I'm out of official dress and back into my pajamas. And I'm like, thank God that's over. Like, I really, in that moment of my life, I was like, it's over. It's done. No more creed for me. I know I'm not winning it. Like, I know I'm not getting to the next level. And Miss Ann texts me. She's like, hey, come, we dropped your yearbook off. Come get it off your front step. So I mosey out of my room. I'm like, okay, mom, dad, I'm coming out. Stay away from me. Like, don't let me get you sick. And so I walk outside. I pick my yearbook up. And I shut the front door. I go back to my room. And I'm laying in my bed. I don't even look at my yearbook. And Miss Ann calls me. And I'm like, what? So I answer the call and she goes, did you even look inside of your yearbook? And I go, no. And she goes, look inside of it. And I open it up and it has Tennessee highlighted on the list of all of the state associations that sent a creed speaker to national this year. I realized that I had advanced in my flight to compete in Indianapolis on the national level, in person, as top 16 in the nation for creed speaking. I kid you not, as exhausted and as sick as I was from COVID, I jumped out of my bed faster than I ever have, and I ran to the front door, and Miss Hand said, come on. They're standing outside my door. They're like, they have silly string, so there was silly string all over our front porch. There was, like, confetti all over the place, a big sign. Miss Swerka had an air horn. It was such a moment that I had gotten in my head and I had told myself that I had already failed, but I didn't. And that was another valuable lesson that I learned from creed speaking, is that we can't just be down on ourselves all the time. We've got to find that silver lining of that storm cloud that is in our life in this moment. And we've got to just hang on to some little bit of hope. So we're going to Indianapolis. We're competing in creed. This is all that is in my mind right now. This is my entire FFA life right now in this moment, is creed speaking on the national level. I go in there. I do my thing. That was the best time I had ever given the creed. I felt pretty good about my answers. I was like, I might have a shot at getting Final Four. Being top four in the nation, being a finalist in this competition, my very first contest. We all get done speaking. The judges are deliberating. We're all back in the waiting holding room, and we're just talking. It's over. What's done is done. It is what it is. I felt good about what I put out. So we walk. They announce, like, hey, the list is highlighted about our top four finalists. You can go look. I walk over there feeling so confident that I'm going to see Tennessee highlighted in big yellow marker. And it's not. And I was devastated. Let me tell you. I held it together while we were in public. But I told Miss Ann, I need to go to the bathroom. I sat there and I cried and cried and cried. I felt like I had let myself down so much because I didn't get the result that I was expecting. And I sit there and I think about that moment of being so upset by not getting where I wanted to be. But then I look back and I see that I had really lost sight of what I realized when I was winning on the regional and on the state level. I lost sight of the fact that it wasn't about the end, it was about the entire journey. And we go to the award ceremony. I get my very special little national silver pin. And that moment when I had taken a second to realize that it was all about the journey and not about the destination, I realized how proud I was of that little silver pin. I realized how proud I was of it. It might not have been gold, it might not have been the shiniest, brightest thing in the room, but it was to me. And I think that that's so special. I learned so much about agriculture and FFA through Creed speaking, but I also learned about, I learned so many life lessons through Creed speaking that I took with me all throughout high school. And that is why it will always be my favorite contest that I have ever competed in, not just because of how successful I was, but because of those moments where I was let down. I felt like I had disappointed myself. I didn't have any hope for myself. Those moments allowed me to grow. Looking back, hindsight 2020, reflecting on those moments, it allowed me to realize things that I never would have realized so early on in my life if it weren't for those moments where I was sad for a little bit, where I was let down. So I think having those moments on our FFA journey are so special to us. I know the story took like forever, but like it's one of my favorite stories to tell.
Oh, definitely. Like every competition, every single competition caters to so many different things. And like there's one common thing that you will get out of any competition, and that's either the desire to get the most out of it, like get the most knowledge, wisdom, experience. Like every competition that you do gives you the chance to do that. And that's like one of the big things that I like telling people too. Like it doesn't matter. You can go into a competition blind, and you will, at the end of it, you will come out knowing so many different things. One big example of this is our Ag Issues team this past year. We'd never done Ag Issues. We went into it, and we just so happened to pick an issue that almost, or a good bit of the other teams picked, and that was the farmland loss issue. And that's something that's heavily affecting Haywood County right now. And that was just like, not many people on our team had a deep understanding on the topic. And coming out of it, like there were so many people that were like, oh, now that I know this, then there's ways that we can advocate or share with other people that, yeah, this might not be the best thing for our county or the future of our county and agriculture in general. And like competitions in general, like they're just some of the best things that you can do. There's something for everybody, and they're fun too. Like you never know what you're going to get into with them. But yeah, so that is all I have for today. Is there anything else that you would like to close out with?
Let me think. I thought about the intro part, but I didn't think about the closing part very much. Whoever is listening to this by chance, I hope you know that FFA is something that will help you grow in so many ways. My story is so unique from yours, and that is okay. That is what makes us special in our own journeys. And I think that going through those trials and tribulations and failing sometimes, that allows us to grow the most. Being able to look adversity in the face and say, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to give it my best. And even if I do fail, I didn't fail in the fact that I learned something. And I think that that's so important to take with you, not just through your FFA journey, but throughout life, to continue to learn and to continue to grow and to continue to serve those around you. All of those are such important life skills that will help you be courteous and kind and fair in the game of life. I mean, there are just so many things that FFA gives you opportunity-wise. And I know I've talked a lot, but, I mean, there's just so many things that I could say right now. But to save you for the sake of time, whoever is watching this, if you ever need someone to talk to or need to reach out, you can DM me on Instagram. I'd be more than happy to talk, share advice, do whatever helps you be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. Just know that I'm here for you guys, and I love every single day of being able to serve in a capacity of a state officer. It's truly such a blessing in my life, and I love every moment of it. And I'm very grateful to have been on this podcast today and be a part of Carson's FFA journey and seeing him grow and start off this platform of advocacy for agriculture and just really serve those around him and his everyday life. So thank you so much for having me, Carson. It's been such a great podcast, and I really look forward to listening in to all of the other episodes that you come out with. So that's all I've got to say.
Well, thank you for coming on it. So I will have another episode coming out next Monday, so make sure y'all stay tuned, and thank y'all for listening to it, and yes, I'll see y'all next week.